The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Season 4 of The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, where we discuss business agility through customer experience, employee experience, and digital transformation. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom. The Agile World podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to techsystems.com. To read more about the topics discussed on this show, you can go to my website at gregkilstrom.com and read my latest articles or get a copy of my latest book, Meaningful Measurement of the Customer Experience, now available on Amazon and other retailers. My name is Greg Kilstrom, and I'm the host of the Agile Brand Podcast. Today's customer is on multiple devices and channels and wants a seamless experience as they interact with brands whenever, wherever, and however they want. This can provide challenges for even the most customer-centric brands, which require solutions that allow the planning, creation, delivery, management, and testing of campaigns and content across multiple channels that deliver a great customer experience. Today, we're going to talk about customer experience without boundaries. I'm here at Optimizely's Opticon 2022 conference in San Diego and would like to welcome Justin Anovic, Chief Product Officer at Optimizely, a leading digital experience platform used by top brands that want to manage and deliver better digital experiences for their customers. Justin, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to be here in person. I usually do the show over the internet, and so it's great to actually be live here in person and at a conference in person. It's been a while. Great to
it's
be
quite
here.
Quite exhausting, actually, isn't it?
Like, right,
all
right.
The interactions face to face.
It does take a little getting used to. Yeah, but no, great energy here. Really love the show so far. So we're in day two as of recording the show. The show is going to air on Friday after the conference. So we're going to talk through a few of the announcements that were made. Some big announcements from Optimizely. And First, I'd love for you to introduce yourself. You're Chief Product Officer at Optimizely. What does that mean at Optimizely? Tell a little bit about your role.
Sure. So I've been with Optimizely for a little over 6 years, really focused in the product area. As Chief Product Officer, I'm responsible for the roadmap of the product, what we're doing, where we're going. We have made decisions over the past couple of years. You know, you're always looking at build, buy, partner, and there's been a combination of each in order to deliver our capabilities. But my team and I really focus on working with customers, partners, to make sure that we're, you know, delivering the right capabilities that they need, but also looking ahead, and people don't necessarily know what they don't know,
right,
and making sure to stay ahead of the curve and delivering innovative capabilities as well.
Nice. Yeah, so we're gonna talk in specific about one aspect of some of the announcements here, but one of the big announcements here was this concept of boundless digital invention, which was designed to help brands solve challenges that I briefly described in the intro. But can you describe a little bit about what does boundless digital invention mean, and what does it include?
Yeah, so we went through the process. We talked about, you know, talked to customers, analysts, and really tried to understand the perception of Optimizely as well as what we want to portray. And boundless digital invention was so obvious because it's aspirational, right? You don't want to be bound to the capabilities and the thoughts and the processes that you have today. And really, invention is more along the lines of being scientifically oriented. When you think of invention, you know, you really equate to being science-based. And so being boundless, but also rooted in making sure that you're using science to deliver the experiences that you want. And what's a part of that, really, how we talk about our capabilities and what we offer is orchestrate, which I think we'll talk about, monetize, which is really about the commerce experience, and then experiment, which is a testing concept to make sure that you're driving the most value.
Great. Yeah, I love that usage of invention, and I think there was quite a bit of talk about both the art and the science of marketing. And you know, having done this for a few years, I can definitely attest to that. There's definitely an art to it, but if you don't have the science behind it as well, you know, you're definitely missing out. And I think you know, the monetize, the experiment components, certainly those familiar already with Optimizely, definitely familiar with that. But you know, I think the orchestrate component is something where personally I'm feeling this with some of the, you know, in my consulting work with customers, I'm feeling some of the pains that I think drove the creation of this orchestrate component. So, you know, it has to do with creation of content, and particularly how content is created for personalization, which, you know, that means multiple iterations and variations and all those things. So, I mean, anybody that's been part of a team that has to do that can probably, they probably have their own horror stories about what it actually takes to coordinate and do all of this. Can you talk a little bit about the Orchestrate solution and just, you know, some of those challenges that I kind of inferred there?
Yeah, so technically from a product perspective, which becomes important at a certain point, but really should be, you know, the last piece. But technically, it's the combination of content management, content marketing, and digital asset management to help marketers, in this case, deliver the right content. But when we really delve into it, we look at what our customers actually use us for, or what we hope they use us for. And we talk about these six key activities that help drive the orchestration of what you do. And a couple of them, we can talk through each one of them if we want, but a couple of them are super important as a part of the orchestrate. The first thing is you have to just know what's going on in the organization. You have to understand not only what your intent is, what are your metrics that you're trying to drive? What are the outcomes you're trying to achieve? And you need the data and the analytics to kind of tell you how your business is performing. Without that piece, like, what's the purpose of anything else? Like that becomes guesswork. That becomes less science. That becomes all art, not grounded in reality. And so that understand is just purely understanding what content gaps do you have? Well, we talk to a lot of our customers and we ask the question, when you start creating content, why do you do it? And they say, well, because we think we need it. And it's like, okay, that's a good start, but what if we could show you what you actually need and why? If you just launched a new campaign for a new credit card and you realize that customers are actually looking for more details about the APR, well, how do you know that that's the case without understanding the performance of what's happening? So that's the first, I think, most critical part. Once you understand, then we ideate. As a part of ideation, there's collaboration, planning. This is where now you take what you've understood of your content gaps and now pursue what you need to do.
Well, and in a multi-channel, omni-channel, cross-channel, whatever, you know, thing, word that precedes channel world, right? There's channel switching by customers. There's, you know, and the teams that are actually creating all of this content need to understand and manage that as well. So does this help with that kind of thinking as well?
Yeah, it's funny that you said whatever word precedes channel, because I was talking to somebody else. I mean, we've been talking about it for 20 years, you know, omni-channel, cross-channel, you know, all of that. And and it's not just about the digital channel. I mean, I think one of the trends that we're seeing more and more is the, you know, some people come to us and say, I want a CMS, and they've already determined the problem statements that have helped them arrive at why you want a CMS. But in reality, they want an improved experience. They want to drive more leads. They want to, you know, decrease customer acquisition costs or whatever. And so in reality, though, they, you know, really need to develop content that's a part of a campaign. So if you're launching a new credit card, like we said, it's not just about what goes on the website.
Yeah.
Well, you need banners. You might need, you know, copy for emails. You might need copy for social. And that's all about launching that new credit card. And it's not just about the content for the web. And what we're seeing, the trends, is that there's a single team that owns all of that. There might be specialists that create it for the end property, but in reality, you're creating that entire campaign, and just, you know, web is just one element of it. So when you go through the ideation process, it shouldn't be an isolation of all the other activities that occur. And that's a massive trend that we're seeing. It's no longer just about any one channel. Because it is funny when you see here at Omnichannel, organizations normally weren't ever organized that way. So they were never omnichannel.
Right.
Their customers were, but they were never organized that way. The trend is now the organizations are becoming more omnichannel themselves.
Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of organizations right now, you know, I can even talk, you know, Fortune 100 companies that I work with are organizing these things in Excel sheets and a myriad of Jira and Asana and, you know, name your project platform of choice. So how does this help with, you know, so you're organizing across channels from kind of the customer perspective as well, but how does this help in just kind of putting stuff in one place?
Yeah, if you saw the skit that we did at the keynote yesterday, it was really, well, the conclusion was hashtag don't be Kevin. But how we got there was, it is insane that if you are creating content, regardless of how you're using it, you might be in Word, and then you're collaborating in Word and commenting in Word. Well, that's an isolation of a broader workflow. Yeah. And then you have to go and manage that campaign or that content in an Excel. Yeah. And then you have to post in Jira and Slack and Teams and all these different places. And as we're going through and developing the before skit to articulate the problem that exists, I mean, we ourselves just had massive laughter because that's where we were a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we know that organizations are like that. And so the complexity and the chaos of having to use all those different applications. I used to be in a contact center space, and one of the first things that you would do is you'd go into look at the customer service rep's desktop, and they would have 15 tabs open that they would open in succession in the right order because they knew what it was like. Well, that's marketers' lives these days, is that there's literally 15 different applications in order to process one, you know, piece of content. And it is ridiculously chaotic. So, Our skit was done by Kevin, that's why we say hashtag don't be Kevin.
nice. And so you touched on this a little bit earlier, but how does this help with personalizing messaging to customers? So, you know, you've got to create all those different variations in order to personalize. You need to have the content to support personalization. So how does this kind of, how does this approach with Orchestrate help with that?
So it becomes a little bit more complicated because over the years, the answer becomes more complicated, but the actual solution is probably easier. But over the years, I mean, we've talked about it. Everybody out there, you want to personalize. What product are you putting in front of people? What content are you putting out there? Oh, you need to create atomic content because then, you know, you just change out the paragraph.
Right.
All that is critically important. But the whole missing component was the data that drives that decision and how you segment. So, you know, if I have three kids, you know, there's a newlywed, there's somebody that has three dogs, right? Like, how do you make sure to know what you're delivering to? And historically, that was the missing component. So you could personalize the content because you've created atomic content, you created a bunch of different options. But what was missing was, it was all based off of the behavior of what they were doing in that experience, and then people like them that took that same path, but it wasn't able to use external data about the individual. And it could be even anonymized, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be about like what you know about them, but like you start to take that, and that data then drives the right content. So the creation of the content, having multiple blurbs and making sure to deliver, that in essence is the easy part. The harder part was really about aggregating the data to be able to use to deliver that personalization. And frankly, in the industry, that's probably what's been, you know, was missing, you know, up until 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. And that drives things like next best action and other things like that as well, right?
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so you know, a lot of folks want to design the ideal experience of the right step to do next, the right content, but in reality it has to be much smarter than that. The next best action could be a multitude of things based on what they just did. You really can't design the ideal flow because there's massive permutations to it. You really have to have the logic to say these are how these two components or this atomic content is connected in order to drive the next best action. So. Yeah.
And so last thing on this topic, another time saver and kind of an efficiency gain is the ability to repurpose content. So, you know, you create something, it works well, you test that it works well, but you want to use it in a slightly different way or for a different purpose. So how does this Orchestrate help with repurposing or, you know, creating new content based on existing or previous?
Yeah, so the thought is, again, you understand what's happening, you ideate, you're creating that content. Yeah. The brief will tell you, you know, you create a brief, basically says, what are you intending to use this for? And then the offshoot of that would allow you to use the micro components, the atomic content, for the right area. So the title might be something that you would use in an email, as well as it's something that's on, you know, the web page. But the body may be different because the body on the site is way longer than what you can send out in an email or in social. And so you create variations of those. It's all based on the same overall overarching title or structure, but you're creating those multiple components to be able to use in the right channels. We are working on, we have some capabilities to allow the system to automatically create content. You type in basically what you want, how you want to say it, and then it'll create those variations for you. I think that it's a little bit further away from people to be able to use that mindlessly. Like, you still need to check what you use, but there's, you know, capabilities that, you know, the application and the smarts will be able to, it can create it for you. So you create the content for the website, it can recommend, okay, this is what you should say for mobile. But it's the reusability of that based on the overarching, you know, content piece, in essence.
Nice. So for someone that's considering taking this approach, using a tool like Orchestrate, what's a way that they could start? You know, what mindset should they have? Where, you know, how do they get started?
So there's you know, a few options. One is to just Venmo me. Yeah. more likely, the first thing is, like, you shouldn't start off by saying, I need Orchestrate.
Yeah.
You need to start off by saying, what are the problems? What are they trying to address? What are the outcomes that we're looking to achieve? Poor lead conversion, your customer acquisition costs suck, or whatever. Like, that's where you start. Like, really define it. Now, that sounds super logical, but, you know, going to a lot of opportunities or customers, they haven't defined that one piece. They just know that they need a CMS, or they know they need a combination of these capabilities. That's like the last step. Right. And so obviously understand what's going on out there, the different capabilities, but really refine what you're looking for as to the problems that you're trying to solve. Yeah. And again, it seems so obvious, but it seems like people start with wanting a CMS and then back their way into their problems that they're solving. It should be the other way around.
Totally agree. Yeah. Asking what's the problem we're trying to solve is always a good approach. Yes, so yes. Totally agree. Well, one last question before we wrap up here, just, you know, we're at Opticon here in San Diego. What's been your favorite part so far?
So this is the first time seeing colleagues and customers. Last time we got together was really 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've given more hugs to people this week than I have probably my entire life, because it's like, oh my gosh, I actually missed that person.
Yeah.
And the 4D experience is actually much better than the 2D experience. But it's been, you know, it's been connecting with people and all of that. In addition, I mean, on the selfish product side, I had a meeting with my product team the other day and said, hey, assume that our customers don't know what we've done in the past few years, probably don't know what we've acquired, like, start off from, like, you know, baseline, and really enlightening people of what they can do with their current investment today is, like, you know, pretty, pretty cool to kind of unlock that and uncover it. So the combination of people and then enlightening people, you know, customers as to what they actually own and how they can actually get more out of it. So, yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, no, and it's been a great show. Well, thank you so much for joining. And for those that want to keep up with you and what you're doing, what's the best way to do that?
So one, I recommend, if there's any complaints, I have an email address, bearded_fool@optimizely.com. or you know, connect with me on LinkedIn, and yeah, that's probably the best way.
So. Wonderful. Again, I'd like to thank Justin Anovic, Chief Product Officer at Optimizely, for joining the show. Thanks for listening to The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom. Talk with you next week. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.theagilebrand.show. To get a copy of my latest book, Meaningful Measurement of the Customer Experience, visit my website at gregkilstrom.com. Until next week, stay agile.